Hello. In this Innovation Agency podcast, we're going to hear about pioneering work by NHS Cheshire and Merseyside to pinpoint people at increased risk because of the combination of suffering a respiratory or cardiovascular condition and living in a cold home. It's part of NHS England's Innovation for Healthcare Inequalities programme. And it involves the Innovation Agency in finding ways to intervene early to give the right help to this vulnerable group to avoid emergencies and worse outcomes. The lead is Professor Rowan Pritchard-Jones, and he's in conversation with Nigel Thompson.
Good afternoon, I'm Professor Rowan Pritchard-Jones, the Executive Medical Director of NHS Cheshire and Merseyside. I'm a plastic reconstructive surgeon. I specialise in skin cancer care and complex abdominal reconstruction. And I stepped into this role having been Medical Director at St Helens and Knowsley Trust, bringing with me a significant interest in the way we use digital and data. So part of my academic life is based around population health as well as oncology.
So you know this part of the world really well. You've worked in this area for some time, so you'll know, you know, the challenges perhaps that this area has. When it comes to where we are in terms of Cheshire and Merseyside, just give us a bit of a picture of who lives here, what their health issues are, and where it is at the moment.
We're now in a world of integrated care systems. So there are 42 across England, and Cheshire and Merseyside makes the second or third largest, depending on whether you measure size by population or the money that we spend on health. NHS Cheshire and Merseyside is also a complex system. It was 9 CCGs, now 9 places. And the variation of health outcomes is huge. And that reflects both levels of deprivation and health inequality, as well as interesting geography, because we've got real inner city populations, as well as, you know, wealthy rural populations and extremely poverty-stricken rural populations as well.
For a public health person, I mean, this is a fascinating patch, isn't it? Because you've got the River Mersey going right through it. As you say, you've got inner city, built-up areas, quite affluent rural areas, but not always the case, because in rural areas you can also find areas of poverty. So for a person like yourself, medical director of quite a large organisation like this, the challenge you've got is huge, isn't it?
It's a really complex system. It's filled with patients who live in extreme health inequality that is driven by all the usual social factors from educational attainment, access to healthcare, and indeed the comorbidities with which people live, which it comes as no surprise to find map with deprivation as well.
You've worked in St Helens. I was reading just before our interview that something like the number of people aged over 80 will double by the time we get to 2037. From, was it 2012, it was reported to be about 6,500. It'll be 12,500, nearly 13,000. So people getting older, but also a bit of a stark statistic I read was that a third of people living in this part of the world live in the 20% most deprived areas of England. So let's talk about Innovation for Healthcare Inequalities programme. You've already hinted this is why this area perhaps is ripe for this kind of initiative. Why did you apply for it, and what do you hope it'll achieve?
So I think there were two strong drivers to make this application. Firstly, that we have a population in real need. We have some parts of our population that we would describe as having complex lives, which is defined by people who live with physical disability, mental health problems, and a significant reliance on social services, maybe through looked after children, as well as a group who then step into the world of alcohol or drug misuse or something like that. This complex part of our population, 8% or so, consume 38% of total health resource. So what is it that could be done to better identify those at risk of very poor outcomes and ideally intervene before those poor outcomes become a reality at a time when our A&E departments are full and overflowing, and the need to be proactive and prevent poor health outcomes, avoid admissions, is huge. So that initial drive is really straightforward. But what we uniquely bring to this party is the fact that we've already developed an incredibly rich population health system within Cheshire and Merseyside. So the Cypher platform, which pulls data all the way from social care now, with primary care, with secondary care coding, means our ability to find patients at high risk is unparalleled. We could ask questions like, who is it in our population lives over the age of 65 alone with a diagnosis of COPD or asthma, who require steroid and antibiotic packs to be prescribed prophylactically, and who live in a house that is known to be poorly insulated or a registered cold home? Because there is an individual that you can precisely identify who is at really high risk of running into difficulties and which you could therefore do something about. And that something might be something as straightforward as some telemetry, understanding what's happening with their oxygen saturations every day, what's happening with the ambient temperature within that house, and allow us to put some interventions in. So we already have a very rich offering of telemetry systems through Docebo, for example, who remotely monitor thousands of patients. And where a patient is running into trouble, that then generates a work list that each day the nurses come in and can see who has been deteriorating overnight and start to make an intervention. That intervention planned to head off someone that in 3 days' time would end up in ED, but by intervening on day one, we can head that off. Now, being so precise on finding these patients allows us to get a far bigger impact than throwing an innovation at tens of thousands. So when you marry together very precise identification of patients with a well-understood intervention, we have the opportunity to make a big difference. And the thread that runs through our system, and this reflects my background in digital as well, is this idea of intelligence into action. It's not often the World Health Organization has a short definition, but this is one of them. Health intelligence is actionable health data. So if we can find these patients and carry out an action to keep them safe, we're going to make a difference and make those resources work really hard.
You actually know who these people are, you know where they are, and you know their health condition. So it's just joining the dots, isn't it? And I understand that where you are now is making sure that you're not doubling up with other organisations who perhaps are already doing part of this work in the region as well.
So there's a lot of organisations out there. So we could start to think not just about medicalising the impact for these patients, but perhaps thinking in the social prescribing world as well. So should someone come and put some insulation into these houses? Would the local authority, who might have a large bucket of patients waiting for housing, now to put them in a line based on the health risks that these patients have, would allow us again to be more precise? Now, our voluntary sector and social prescribing network is rich, but poorly connected. And this is where this idea that now we have places, nine places that were nine CCGs, this is where there will be that intelligence around the assets that are already in play, but perhaps not connecting to the right people, that we can now start to join dots. And so this project is not necessarily about creating brand new services, but rather far better, far more precisely, connecting need with available assets already in play.
Doesn't it also depend, though, on the people themselves wanting the help, you know, making sure that, you know, the people themselves, when you do reach the patient, you do identify that person, don't think of it as something that's been imposed on them. They can see the merits and why they want to do it. That's going to be the crucial thing, not the selling, but the convincing that this is a good thing for the reasons you've already explained.
Yeah, it has to be a patient-centred approach. You have to bring forward an offering that the patient perceives adds value to their lives, to their outcomes, that reduces their risk of further ill health over the winter. We know from the work done by voluntary sector, social prescribing, that these are effective, meaningful interventions that patients are pleased to have being offered up. And it's about putting all of this together now to not just improve the outcomes, but avoid worse outcomes for a vulnerable group.
Are you excited by this? It strikes me that your background in data and the fact this money's now been made available is a perfect time. So 2023 could be a really good moment for Cheshire and Merseyside to make real changes that in years to come you can chart back to the start of this initiative.
Yeah, this idea of bending the curve where you look at where you want to be and look back and consider what were the foundations that were put down that allowed that future state to exist. This has to be one of them. We are unique in Cheshire and Merseyside at having put the entire digital programme and informatics into the medical directorate, because digital is such a rich enabler, but it must be clinically led, clinically focused, in order to really make that difference. The fact that I've got a background in digital and healthcare apps means that I appreciate, value and want to promote the power of using digital. And at a time where the NHS knows it is facing some very difficult financial decisions, our ability to be very precise with our medicine means that those resources can work harder and therefore represent an approach that we most sincerely expect to represent value for money as well.
And when it comes to sort of delivering, how soon before people will see the benefits?
I'd like to think very quickly, because, as I say, we are using assets that are already in play, but starting to join the dots and bring them together. So right now, there's the hard work going on that are mapping exactly what these assets are. Our place directors already know what they've got in play and are starting to bring all of that forward. We have our data scientists and our academics through Liverpool University, GraphNet sitting behind Cypher, who now can start to sketch out the data that we can bring forward and now start joining these wires and letting the current flow.
So what would your message be then to people who are listening to this, these stakeholders who may have heard about this and want to get involved? What would you urge them to do?
So if you want to be involved, certainly make the approaches to the team, make yourself known to us. We are keen to work with that broad church of stakeholders, because that is the way we get something that is successful, but most importantly, is not just for the moment, but needs to become a business as usual approach, needs to become a standard of care, that our ability to use our intelligence to improve these outcomes becomes the industry standard. That works when broad group of both stakeholders, including our patients and our citizens, because this isn't just necessarily about patients, but those who face winter fuel poverty with a risk of ill health, that when their voices are heard and they're part of it, we're far more likely to have a successful outcome and a successful programme.
And do you think this could be used as a pilot for the rest of the country? It seems very, you know, apposite for somewhere like Cheshire and Merseyside, but I'm sure there's any number of places across the country that could use the same approach that you do once you know it works.
And, you know, that's why we've got to run a successful project that brings forward the evidence that allows it to be taken further, but one step at a time.